All right. We'll
call this meeting of EMS committee meeting to order. We begin with the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Well, thanks everybody for coming. I apologize for my tardiness. The only thing I really wanted to talk about, we've talked about quite a bit already about everything, and I just think we're all on the same, correct me if I'm wrong, I think we're all on the same page of, you know, this need to make the storms better and help and keep them as the EMS primary provider in the city of Derby. We talked about, I think one of the benefits that came forth is, you know, thanks to Ron Sill and Gino for pushing along with the alderman in the city hall end of it. The new ambulances the new ambulances in town or almost in town, getting furbed out and should be in service soon. Yeah.
Okay. Do you know if they sent the check out yet?
Probably not, because I only just signed the PO, the final PO. I signed it Tuesday, Monday this week. And so I think it's supposed to go out this week. There's a new improved system for POs now, and they send them out in a PDF. And so it came to me, and I don't know what was happening. I don't have an answer.
Do we know where it's going to live yet? Is it going to fit in the building?
Yeah. Everything was moved over on Hawkins Street. So okay. Nine will go to Hawkins Street as Mel 1. And we'll go into the ambulance. But
okay. Good.
This is down the road, and we made the provisions to make the extend the ambulance bay. So, you know, probably down the road we'll need to revisit that.
Yeah, there's a make things. There's a footing there, yeah. Underneath the sidewalk.
Yeah. Oh, really?
Yeah. Yeah.
When we did the drive, the ramp did.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Leave that. You
got to
walk the back or something.
Yeah. No. It'll encroach up the out the front. That's all. I mean, it's going to narrow up that sidewalk right there. That's all. A little bit, which is a ramp anyways. It's not
right. Much of a, yeah. I was going to say there's ramp. Your sidewalk. Ramp goes over like an open space.
So yeah.
It goes on 4 or 5 feet.
Yeah, it's not much, but it's not enough.
Yeah.
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 The vehicles are always bumper to bumper.
Yeah, so right. Right. Give you a little.
The best thing I ever did was when we put the rear wheel stop so you didn't hit the passenger too.
Yeah. So, I mean, that's a big relief, right? And for the immediate, now we got to deal with more of the long-term stuff. So I just wanted to kind of kick around amongst us to be sure that what would it take for the city to take over the staffing, the cost of the staffing. So from my perspective, it's not a whole lot, because the city uses Paycor, which is a payroll service. So it's just a matter of adding names to that. The same person I would think that does it now would just add the 25 or 30 extra names or whatever it is, but it's probably somewhere in that number. Into their what they do every week now, the staffing part I would think would still remain within the ambulance management end of it.
Right.
And I know there was some confusion. The last the gentleman sit over that corner there, but I don't think there's any benefit to the city doing the billing, the medical billing.
Yeah, it's not sure.
There's a lot.
Yeah, that's not something. So in theory, that becomes an extra charge for the city. Because right now you guys are, the ambulance corps pays that out of your funds.
Right. You know, the sad thing is, so there is the potential of, you know, this is pie in the sky and 100 years down the road, because everybody is, they want their own shoes. But regionally, as the valley, if we sign together with one billing agency, we can probably see some benefit.
Shouldn't we talk about this? Because we just changed billing agencies. It's like herding cats.
And that's why I put the preface out there saying, I know it.
Shelton wants absolutely nothing to do with us. Absolutely nothing. They don't want anything to do with any of the valley. Loretti will not have anything to do for training for police, fire. Basically, don't want anything. Ansonia, they're coming off whatever issues they had a year or so ago. And we've talked about this. It's just, you know, the problem is that everybody who is involved now, then who's in charge? And that
starts. Well, and that's why I said it's pie in the sky.
Listen, it'd be better if we all bought ambulances together. It'd be better if they bought exactly together. It's exactly. Just.
And that's the shame and the downfall of VEMS, because VEMS, when it was first brought up, you know, back in the 80s, the idea was to bring the valley together. And while not being under one flag, you'd still have your separate, your Echoes, your Storms, Arms, or ACD back then. It's a shame. It's a shame.
What would be the better? Why would the city want to take over the staffing?
Because I think the main thing is, Mars, is you're paying 30-something, mid-30s now for people in the ambulance.
I don't even know if it's that high.
It is. He's getting his knees replaced, I heard.
Oh, that's right.
So we can even give the guys on the staffing agency, the paid staff, a raise to keep them competitive and still not pay the $35 an hour that we're paying the staffing.
Did
he say how the contract ran?
When I talked to Tom about it, he said, you're in your first year now. He said, would not keep, you need to be into your second year. So like a year from now, which is probably about, as fast as things go, is going to be about right anyways.
And you'd still be trying to make sense.
Yeah. But
I mean, it would seem to make sense that, you know, use the city as a staffing agency.
Right. Right.
And they pay the workman's comp and everything else that the city.
Yeah, which is not going to be that big a deal, because, I mean, they're covering most of the people already by volunteers.
Right.
And so, from my limited understanding, it would not be a big nut for the city to take on the additional, the little bit extra.
It would basically just be using as a staff. They would come through the city.
Right, but how would they get people?
Well, that's the ambulance corps would do that.
Right now, the staffing agency, right?
Yeah. Right now,
So I think perhaps, you know, there's got to be, and I hate to say this, but because I know everybody's going to want the position, but there should be some kind of at least part-time management position on the ambulance corps side.
Which there is not. I mean, right now we have Rizzio is in charge of all the staff.
Yeah.
So, you know, he oversees people coming.
Yeah, we actually, they have someone, we have a staffing captain, and that's his responsibility is to make, and it's been working okay.
Well, I
originally, the staffing agency brought in one of their own people to do it. That was a disaster. It has to be somebody who's familiar with how it works.
Well, and you kind of have to kind of know the people too, the staff.
That was probably one of the biggest problems with FinTech is where, you know, 9 o'clock there'd be an ambulance call and there'd be one person.
Yeah, yeah.
And, you know, it happened a lot.
Yeah. So,
you know, where's the other guy? Well, I don't know.
But do you think there needs to be some, and maybe you probably have this already too, but I'm kind of talking about wrapping it into one person to kind of be the, you know, manager, but like to track the bills and all that stuff.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know that it has to be full time, but part time at least anyways. We started it part time.
Yeah,
but
I think that would like
that's pretty much what Rizzio does,
right? I mean, so he gets an extra big through.
Yeah,
I'm not sure how they compensate him, but
yeah,
I think he gets an extra $2 an hour or something. Yeah. I forget what it's not. So it's not a lot.
Some kind of range, you know, if it's, you know, whether it's him or somebody like him, but that, but that's what I'm talking about.
And that same person would recognize staffing needs if they need to hire more. Similar to how Ansonia has their own, you know, they hire, they just put them onto the Ansonia payroll. They go through a background check. That's how I would imagine it would work there. Instead of letting the staffing agency, and they seem to have been doing a fairly good job.
Okay. FinTech was not that.
FinTech was, yeah.
This new agency so far.
Yeah.
Listen, we don't
talk about a lot of effort in, but too, to get from Bridgeport there. It's a lot of power to do it too.
But here's the thing. Why? So Ansonia does it as a one stop shopping. Ansonia does the billing, they manage the staffing.
They do their own billing?
No. Ansonia doesn't do their own billing.
No, they said.
They do?
Yeah, pretty sure, yeah. But
no municipal service is going to do their own billing. It's too hard. There's too many people to do it. You need a specialized person to do the billing.
Okay. Right.
And I know
I was under the impression the city did your job now.
Okay.
And who tracks all the medical stuff, the supplies and stuff?
For Ansonia?
Well, they have for storms.
There's somebody assigned to supply, and he reports to one or two other supply.
Yeah, I think Cooper's in charge of supplies, but somebody's underneath him.
Oh, I took the out of the trial. Cooper, like the second assistant, basically oversees that. There's someone who handles supplies.
Okay. So you do that stuff in house. That would continue to that.
Right. Yeah. Right.
And the staffing, you know, they have specific jobs they do during the week,
Deeping
and all that stuff.
Yeah.
You know, so they do have a set job schedule.
Yeah.
What kind of a cut does this staffing agency take?
They're charging 35 or 30, I'd say 35, and maybe it's 34, maybe it's 36.
Yeah.
People get paid, the staff gets paid 20, so it's $15.
Right, so they're taking a big chunk.
And just, that would go away with the city.
Yeah.
Right. $15 is not a big chunk when you've got to figure they take care of everything. They take care of workers' comp, they take care of insurance, they pay payroll taxes. Right.
Yeah, but
you just pay the big. You just pay the $35.
But what we're saying, Gino, is that, you know, if this, the ambulance corps members are paid through the city, we're paying almost all that stuff now, anyways.
Right. Yeah. Right. If you move that to city, we do all that. You know, the city staff does that anyway, so it would be beneficial.
Let me just bring Gino up to speed. So we just talked a few minutes for now, but what we wanted to try to do is you know, so we're all in agreement. You know, we'll try to make the storms. We're going to keep them as it is. They're going to be our primary, and the city is going to take over the staffing part of it. And then we're just trying to figure out what does that look like? And you know, it's got to be reduced to a plan that eventually is going to have to, you know, go through the board and probably, I would think that'd be the first one.
How would the city get paid for the staffing?
It would be some of a line item in your budget.
So instead of paying whoever the hell we pay now, we would just
let's get to that part, right?
Yeah,
you would not get for the medical part. You're relinquishing that. The city would get that, and the city would get the insurance from the billings, the billing proceeds.
All the revenue produced.
But you don't. But you wouldn't have any. You wouldn't get a cash allotment. You would be another city department, and we'd have to create a budget for you for maintenance, it would go through. I think that's the way it would work.
What you're saying then is the city is going to completely take over the ambulance part?
For the medical. Yeah.
But that for the medical, I don't. You're saying that all money, all revenue would come into the city now?
Yeah.
Okay.
I don't know how it's.
Not paying your bills now.
Huh?
It's not paying your bills now.
What revenue do you guys take in?
That extra, there really is no way.
Right. You're
it's not money maker by any stretch. There's no, like.
Just looking at the budget alone, you're already $200,000 alone. You're coming to the city and asking for $200,000.
$300,000,
no? Or $300,000 on the new budget.
Okay.
So, yeah, $100,000 here, $100,000 there.
Starts
that way. Starts talking about. But you're already in the hole. The revenue that you're producing isn't paying for anything that you can keep up with. Right? I mean, there's no savings. There's no revenue production above what your budget is.
My question would be is what revenue that comes in would you not want to trade off or cite to the city? Because your revenue is now is money from the insurance companies or the transport and
the bill pay.
Billing
the bills.
For that, right?
Some of that would probably be beneficial to have the city do it, no question about it. I mean.
But are you thinking because of the rescue, that end of it?
No, not so much that as how do we have, who's going to control over our finances, I guess.
Because the issue is it becomes another city agency that's already, so somebody's going to be in charge of it. That has no clue what it is.
No.
Okay. You could put a stipulation in there that you guys create, let's say that the ambulance corps now, Storm's ambulance becomes like a public works department. You would have a director,
maintain, like the fire department maintains its own chiefs.
You know, you set up some type of structure like that so that you don't have something
you don't want the fire department to take over that ambulance corps.
No.
It would be at the city department.
Right.
EMS.
And you guys have control of the board of directors or whatever so that you could structure it and run it it would be.
I mean,
so that you don't have somebody that's EMS or whatever,
I'm not trying to hide anything.
No, I understand that.
I
think we just need to.
You got
something that works for all.
Well, that's what we're here talking.
It could be a hybrid,
Right. So I think, like you said, the staffing is an issue. Obviously, if we can save money through going through the city through staffing, that's a home run.
And this, you know, the only way to sell it to the city is they're going to want to know where we want the revenue if we're going to put out the money for the staffing.
Right. Right. So we, you know.
But the revenue is in.
Well, I mean, it's no, it's not really
putting you anywhere.
The city. What we're doing is we're creating a backstop because the city is required to provide medical service. So if whatever deficit there is, the city's got to make up for.
And there's no more.
You can't. They can't. They can't not pay individuals. Right. That's payroll.
Right.
Okay.
And instead of you trying to go get your budget for 250 and they give you 50.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Right. Now, it's up to them to make up the gap. It's entirely on the city now.
Right.
And we can make this whatever hybrid, you know, look at the fire department. They have a command structure in place. Same thing can still exist with storm ambulance.
I agree something like
or
that.
Or storm DMS.
Be done.
And that's why it's important to know that, you know, you'd like, well, these management positions are in your structure already. So that could be built in.
Because to be honest with you, I've been in construction all my life. I don't know the first thing. You wouldn't want me to be running your department because I got a big word.
Right.
Because I wouldn't know.
The ambulance would be towing around a border mixer.
You have all types of tools hanging off of that
ambulance. Street broom.
Don't worry. We'll get you there.
All right.
Concrete's dry.
That's just
you know, sometimes, you know, you want to have some type of structure.
Don't worry about that hose being hooked up to an Atlas cop going.
Can you hear? We'll get a compressor.
Yeah.
You want the oiler on that or no oil? But yeah, I agree that, you know, somebody with the experience of, you know, that knows, definitely, you don't want to.
I would, you know, for the rescues and all, you know, that stuff, that end of it, that's not going to go away. That creates part of the line item in the budget.
Right. Yeah, that stuff is.
Now that we got a grant writer, we're going to have all kinds of stuff coming.
Oh, yeah. Part-time.
Yeah, but she's taking care of Sheldon. She's taking care of his.
Is she for the whole valley or just us?
No, well, just she us. Happens to work for everybody else. Now we hired her too.
Yeah, part time. She does part time 5 days a week in 5 different towns. Yeah, but everything is part time.
So the way I understand, I asked about it today, and so if you have an idea for a grant. Or you know of a grant that you'd like to pursue, you go see her and she rates it. She'll rate it and see it's highly likely, not likely, or mediocre. We could throw it at the wall and see what we can do percent to get it, and then either we do or we don't go for that stuff. So, but
she actually.
Oh yeah, she and I guess she's fairly successful in what you make.
Yeah,
she's
my red tonight. She's pretty successful.
Yeah,
and there's a niche to that.
Yeah, I don't mean to be. But
I see that she's got some experience with Philadelphia Fire.
Yeah, she got quite a bit of money for that.
Probably couldn't fire.
So
some grants I did 3 or 4 grants for body armor for a few different things. And some of them are not bad. Most of the vendors will give you all the
information. Yeah, Yeah. You're going to be,
if you want radios, Motorola will come in right for me.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Have to watch.
They're not writing the grant for free, let me tell you.
Well, that's where we bring into. When was it you got a fire act grant. You still have to pay money.
There's a participating.
A lot from us. So my armor grant was like that.
Yeah. So, I mean, great, we got the grant, but then the city said, well, not sure we have the money.
Yeah, and that's one of the things that would, if that's the case, then the I think it's the alderman have to approve that before the application can go in.
Some grants you've got to put, you know, matching or the 20% up, and then if you get it, you'll get that money back over the, you know, there's a lot of different types of stipulations.
Yeah. Sometimes you can get another grant to cover the right. Participating for the grant.
Well, it depends on how you spend, because you can actually utilize training and budgetary overtime and stuff to cover that 20%.
Yeah.
And sometimes, too, inside the grant, I know Yale does it, especially with my wife down there. The grant pays, it's stipulated in the grant, we'll say, this is part of this grant for this project or program. They'll pay staff. You could go and hire these people for X amount of time, and that's all built in, you know, too. So there's a lot of different things. Now that we got somebody that knows what they're doing, I think it's going to be
It's good.
So you need a grant writer for the grant writer.
Pretty much.
Better than nothing.
Yeah. No, it's.
Was anything in place before this?
No.
The only one that used to write, the last one that wrote grants was. Well, Sheila, yeah, I was thinking of, but right. That was really into what was Rick Dunn when he worked for the city.
Oh, right.
I don't think anybody really did it, you know, other than piecemeal. I mean, Sheila was here for a couple of years, but other than that, wasn't it?
Yeah.
VCOG doesn't do it for us.
They, to an extent, but no, not really. Not for each individual town. They'll write a grant for the region.
Yeah. There's a lot of stipulations, like with now there's 19 towns, they changed.
I don't know what else is there with the ambulance. I mean, I don't know. There's
ambulance in service yet?
No, it's probably a couple weeks out. They're lettering it now. It's got to go get the stretcher mounted and some of the equipment mounted.
The auto load out of the old?
Yeah, we're going to wait for the very end.
Yeah.
To take that out of service and then take the stretcher out of it. So probably end of next week, maybe.
Did you guys see it yet?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Sitting on or maybe.
I did.
Nice. Oh, did you? I must have missed it.
I was late.
I missed it. I didn't know what was here.
I'll tell you what.
I went and they said it wasn't there. It was getting lettered and all that.
Yeah.
It came. It was here for one night. For a couple hours.
Yeah,
I mean, considering where we came from.
It's a
nice.
Big thing.
A beast?
Yeah.
It's a big.
Yeah, it is.
Right?
Yeah.
It's a party, like one of those stretch limo party wagons.
Yeah.
Nice.
What's that?
The box 12 foot?
Long? I think it might be 16.
Yeah. Oh, it's only a couple feet shorter than 12.
It's
actually only 6 inches longer than the banyan, than FD9. It's about foot longer. Just big, you know, it seems like it's taller and bigger.
Well, that's because it has all the compartments, the storage, all that stuff.
Yeah,
so.
I forgot what it is.
But the nice thing was that this was like a demo.
So it's got everything.
Yeah.
Right.
It's got a, what do they call it?
It's got like 7,000 miles on
it. So when you put it in park, shuts it off.
Liquid suspension. Oh, yeah. That's. I'm sorry, but you're talking about the suspension.
Yeah, when you. Yeah. You see some of the cars like that now.
Yeah.
Yeah. So.
Oh, it shuts off.
All four and then, you know, same the front, both side.
It lowers the back end.
Park. It shuts it off.
Oh,
shuts it off.
The motor.
Yeah.
And then when you put it.
It has a green idle system. Yeah. So every time you put it in park, it shuts the motor off and it goes to an inverter.
Yeah.
So everything runs off the inverter.
It's an auto shutdown because
environmental.
The emissions. And remember the problems we used to have when the trucks used to idle regeneration on the earlier models?
Yeah, right. And the diesels.
Yeah. Purpose regenerate to bring it. And I used to have a big argument with the Chevy dealer.
We used to have to.
How do I maintain it? Don't drag the truck.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah, no problem.
Well, the region,
you know, the truck ran for 80 hours and I went 2 miles because I've been in a parking lot for 2 days.
Wow.
What do you have?
Yeah.
Sparky knows a whole lot.
When are you thinking that all of this will take place?
I not this year. But I, you know, maybe
anything that's going out of this contract, right?
Yeah. So, I mean, I would think sometime in like maybe later to 2024, if everything worked, you know, meshed right.
You got time to make a lot more money.
It's not a money making operation. That's why it's not designed to be, you know. I mean,
and I sent everybody an article that was in Newsmax. They had at the state capitol, they had an EMS fact finding day because, you know, we're not the only ones.
It's all over the country.
So a lot of the same problems we're seeing here. Low revenue, Medicaid not pulling their weight, Medicare, staffing issues. It was all brought up in front of the state legislature. Now, whether they do anything with it or not, but it's a pretty prominent chiefs of service. Chief Baxter from Britton EMS was there. You know, the different commercial services were represented, the fire services were represented. And I sent it specifically for Mr. Mayhew to listen to and to watch because it's, you know, it's a complex issue. It's not a business. It's not somebody who has business experience that can come in and say you need to do X, Y, and Z. That's not the case. So, EMS is more witchcraft.
Or utility.
For what we do, because we don't do transports in the classical sense of the word, we're never going to make money because that's where all the ambulance services make money is on the transports. They don't make anything out
because they're running it like a business,
though. Right? And even the commercial ambulance services right now aren't making
money. Yeah,
we're actually having, you know, it's funny you say that. We're actually having a class, I think, in March, on how to properly write the run forms. To make sure that it's getting paid because
at least get what you can.
So like for just as an example, like for Medicare to pay, you have to do like two sets of vitals or something. Well, in Derby, you fall, you're at the hospital.
Yeah, right.
You know what I mean? But there's ways of getting that in there so that it you can get paid for it because that's what's happening is a lot of it is getting
corrected. Right.
That's a big thing, the coding. I never even realized that Heidi does it with the insurance companies and stuff. If you don't have the, you know, however they do it, I don't know. But I know the billing and coding, if you do it the right way, everything comes in. If you miss one little thing, it's
right.
And
that's for the days of, you know, volunteering and getting up at 3 o'clock in the morning, going on ambulance calls are pretty much over. You can't get a kid to come out and say, hey, come out for free. Make sure you fill out the run form perfectly, or you're not going to get paid.
Right.
Do 5 calls a night and go to work.
It's true with the fire department. Monday, I think it was Monday morning, there was, after the freeze-a-thon, there was a pump out call Monday morning at about 6:30. They're calling Aunt Sony from Mutual Aid.
Yeah. And Glover was the only one there.
Yeah.
It's just like what art. I mean, you can't just go and do a job and pour some concrete. You know, the paperwork, prevailing wage, all that.
Yeah.
I mean, when we were doing all that prevailing, I had 3 full-time girls in the office for a little company with 25 or give or take employees. That's insane.
Yeah.
Because of paperwork.
Yeah, it's nuts. So Marcel, I guess to answer your question is, I mean, somebody, I'm going to put a draft kind of thing together, like for the whole plan that we're talking about. It's going to be, I don't know, 10 pages maybe, I don't know, put it out to all of us first and pick it apart and fix it and make it presentable. And then we have to go start going to the city. Then start with the Board of Aldermen, and go take it through.
I mean, Sparky, I'll be honest with you. I think it will be a process.
Whatever
plan you start with, I think it'll be a process after that.
Yeah.
You know, working out the nuts and bolts of it.
Oh, yeah. It's going to be, yeah.
That's probably be a good idea maybe to sit with Tommy before you get too involved with making a large.
Oh, yeah. No, I'm not.
This way, at least with Spanky and Tommy, they can give you some accurate figures.
Yeah, well, I don't plan to write it the whole thing. I mean, I'm going to have somebody write it for me.
Yeah.
And you know, then compare drafts. Not compare drafts, but put it out and fill in the blanks. Whatever parts I don't have the information on, you guys fill in the blanks.
Right.
And then it's going to go through the city thing and you know,
I think
in this climate, in this political climate, I don't think you got an election year coming up. I don't know that anybody's going to want to do anything on the Board of Aldermen. Not anybody, but
I would think that
some of the
election year, the next administration.
Yeah, So, but I'd like to have that ready for after Election Day. Start that process.
But I think it's important that we're comfortable with it, you're comfortable with
No question. Listen, it makes no sense to come up with something just to say we did, put it in front of the Board of Aldermen and have 40 guys from the Ambulance Corps there say, we don't know anything about this.
Yeah. Right, yes. And, you know, like I said, you know, there may be a different mayor, maybe the same mayor, but hopefully Board of Aldermen, the tax and stuff. You know, there's 4 or 5 members that are agreement.
That's right. It makes it a lot easier. Makes it a lot easier.
Like you said, here, it's going to be a long to get all the information together to do it the right way.
Oh, yeah.
You know, it's a stretch. Being bound.
But I think it's important to keep, to not let it die. We need to kind of keep, we may not have to meet every month like this.
Right.
But we need to kind of keep it going because.
Well, I think you have to pick apart like a specific portion of it, like the staffing part. Everybody sit down and just focus on the staffing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Then do the next part until everybody's happy with the staffing part.
Yeah, right.
Then move on to the next part and say, okay, let's figure out oversight or what have you, and then move on. I think it's because it's too big. It's too
Yeah, complex. Right.
I think it might be good, Gary, to meet every month.
We could. That's fine. That's fine.
Even if it's a half hour or something.
Yeah. Well, even if you like throughout the course of the month, sit down and say what happens with this, and this, and then come to a meeting, talk about it, so that you can before you start writing.
Yeah. What let's do is start doing it in an outline type thing.
Yeah.
And
so whatever happens here has to be brought back to the Army.
Yeah. Right. Right.
Back
yeah, and you, yeah, you know, I'm sure you guys are, but I hope you're talking to your members anyways.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, listen, we tell them every month, you know, every step of the way with the ambulance because it's reaching critical.
And I'm not, you know, the reaction you had, what your first reaction with who's getting the money, I'm sure everybody's going to have that question.
The money's not the concern. Money is not. Because it's not like a big set of money. It's not like there's a pot of gold.
When you think about it, what money, right?
Yeah, it's always going to be like that.
When you break down, right?
Yeah. You know, it's always going to be a hopefully break-even proposition.
Yeah.
And the problem you run into is that when you're break-even, what happens when you need an ambulance?
Yeah.
Exactly what happened in this case. You know?
All right.
That's why this...
But I think that the answer, the simple answer to that is, I mean, it's more complicated than a simple answer. But simple answer is the city's the backstop.
It's got to be. I mean, it's their responsibility, and I keep telling guys that.
I think what point is the world a little bit too hard that just been going on for a year and a half. You know, oh, go ahead, go out to bid. Oh, you're all set. Oh, wait a minute. So I think that kind of poisoned the well with everybody.
Well, hopefully.
But really, since this started, since you put this together, what's it been? 2.5 months we got in. You know, I mean, this should have probably happened a year and a half ago.
I think that process is
it's important that when the Ambulance Corps is presenting to the tax board this year, that you let them know that you that's worth $300,000, but you know, we're looking at ways to do it better.
Right. I mean, you know, the sad part about it is if they just listened to us right off the bat, they would have saved themselves $140,000.
You're right.
And right off the bat, I mean, if the ARPA money was available back then, it wasn't costing the city anything, you know, it should have been, you know, it would have saved the city a lot of money. It would have got us the exact ambulance we wanted. But it would have been waiting for it.
And that's why, too, with this, right. When the gentleman came to the Board of Aldermen, and he even said, they're still 2 years out.
Right.
So that's why I had mentioned it, that, okay, yeah, we were lucky we got this demo, okay? But don't just, because we got this ambulance, don't throw away that other one, because some of these, keep that in rolling.
That could be 5 years from now.
Because we're slack to work in 2 years, and they call us up.
That why it didn't happen before, there's no question about it.
We don't need it. Some people get what we have.
No question about it.
Right.
But so you don't throw it out now because we got it.
We have to buy it.
The separation.
That's how we got the two cop cars.
The city and storms has always been, storms ambulance has been separate from the fire department. It's not a municipal service. It's been an association that does EMS for the city and for. There was no direct oversight from the city. And you guys didn't want direct oversight in the city. The reporting was never communicated well. There was a ton of, and Ronnie Sill was one who used to break your balls the hardest every budget year. But sitting here and listening to it finally, he now has the idea. And that's where this coming together and the city, having the city have more involvement in it, well, they have skin in the game now. And you're right.
But, you know, I don't think we could have been, at least from when I was chief on, which was 10 years ago, I don't think we could have been any more transparent to the city than we were. I mean, I think it just fell on a lot of deaf ears.
Right.
And we, you know, Danny did that same presentation. We opened up every book there was. You know, but
that's what happens when you do every possible thing.
Right. You know, we were as transparent could be.
The well was poisoned elsewhere, and that's
right. It migrated in, and
that, you know, there's two sets of books that have money piled up here, money piled up there. I'm like, guys,
I feel bad.
Here's the simple facts, and I would draw out how much you would get per call, how many calls per year you do. Where else is the money coming from? There is, you know, and you have the good
on it.
Right.
But here's the thing, too. Until I came here and listened, I didn't know all the stuff that you guys actually do. I mean, the hazmat, close confinement, or whatever the proper term is, all that stuff counts. Because if the city had to go and hire somebody or however you field all that stuff out, you're talking some serious dollars. You know what I mean? So, you know,
can you imagine?
You got people that don't know fire and EMS that sit there and they don't know. They think, oh, Medicare, Medicaid, and all these are paying. It must be a ton of money.
Yeah.
Obviously, the
insurance companies.
Right. Medicare, Medicaid are only paying this tiny much and the bill goes away. You know what I mean? So for people that are, you know, in your trade or service.
We don't, and it's, they, you know, they never aggressively build either.
That's why I think a couple of months ago I asked what the billing, how much are you receiving in your billing? And the answer was, you're getting 100%, but you're never getting 100%.
No.
And exactly what you said now is you're bringing the guys in because billing's going up there and it's not getting paid. There's revenue left on the table.
Yeah,
I'll bet you it's probably about 25 to 30%.
And Sean, it's bullshit stuff. I you know it's not.
Virtually in us, man.
You know, it's not Donnie and I are crossing a T. It's just nonsense. but it's their rules.
It'd be great for
they you make it hard.
Transfer work, because the transfer work, they make you come up with medical necessity to transport a patient out of the hospital back to God bless them. If that patient is able to sit in a wheelchair and you transport it by ambulance, you're not getting paid.
Yeah.
Wow, man.
The days of Eddie Cotter taking me out of freaking high school.
Oh,
the lady from freaking Derby Nursing did Griffin and
yeah.
Back to Derby Nursing.
Dude, when I was 16 years old, every summer I get in the ambulance at 8 o'clock in the morning doing transports for radiation for St. Rains. Every day.
Every day.
And taking four or five are, people
in emergencies. That's when you were getting good money to do all those radiation.
We were getting nothing.
Because you weren't billing them.
No.
No. That's where every one of those transports, there were more of them because Medicare number one wasn't checking to see if they could sit in a wheelchair.
Right.
Yeah,
it's obviously a whole different ballgame.
Every industry is getting like that.
And it's only going to get worse.
Yeah.
I don't know how it can get worse, but it will.
That's why the volunteers in all across the board, not just here, are all down. It's the ones who come in and have to learn another job,
right,
and be a volunteer.
Yep. You know, the problem is that taking the ambulance call before was a matter of 20 minutes, half hour. Now it's like a process,
right?
And then you have to fill out
and
keeping up on the training and the certifications and stuff, it's almost becoming impossible.
And more than likely, you come in, you jump one call, and you're going to get another call before that one's over.
Yeah.
Listen, it's the same thing with the fire department. They're making the regulations, not like when
we're regulating ourselves out of being a volunteer.
Right. That was my thing.
There's a way to do something harder. You can't do it.
Yeah.
If there's an easy way to do something, it seems like volunteer fire service doesn't want to do it.
You're right.
You're
right.
But we do, the storm ambulance has you guys to thank for this new ambulance.
This wouldn't happen. For a year and a half, almost 2 years, it was a circle trip. It was okay, go out to bid, do this, do that. Oh, wait a minute. No, go out to bid again. It was just ridiculous. But it wasn't until everybody, all the people, all the stakeholders sat down and said, listen, what's the deal? What do we need? And
when we get
the alderman,
I think we're all happy it worked out.
Yeah.
No, it is. It was great that we had somebody, that was a professional service.
Yeah.
Somebody from the Board of Aldermen, somebody from the tax board.
Yeah,
that's how it should work. It's almost like there should be some kind of commission or something. Something. So that people go back with the right information. Because really, the whole thing is communication. It just doesn't come across.
Yeah. Well, if you get a chance, go on Ansonia's webpage and look up ARMS, and they have a monthly commission meeting. And they discuss all this stuff every month.
They also have, I didn't know this, but Ansonia has a public works commission too, or board or committee, whatever they call it. But
they used to, and it's not in there anymore, but in the ambulance commission, arms commission meetings, they used to report what revenue was turned over to the city every month. So and it would be on the average of anywhere from $35,000 to $45,000 per month.
After you spent 60.
Right.
Basically.
Pretty much. And that's where the commission came in for as a benefit, because the leadership at ARMS would say, we need to hire. The city would say, you're at your staffing level, forget it. But we need to add hours. And the commission would go back to the city and say, no, we've identified, we've done the studies.
Yeah,
they need to hire.
Yeah,
here's
work.
Or you're going to start dropping revenue.
Yeah. And that's the other thing I really don't understand how Ansonia, call volumes, 5%?
They're probably around anywhere from 500 to 7,500 calls.
Are they down?
Yeah, they're busy.
But it makes a huge difference when you can staff 24/7.
Yeah.
Where we're only staffing.
Yeah.
6 to 6.
Right.
So
half the week and the weekends, but so half the week.
Yeah. It's tough. There's just
Yeah.
Listen, the fire department's headed the same way. It's just a matter of time before you have paid drivers.
Well, we're gonna. It's gonna be something.
It's just a matter.
You know. But.
Yeah, it's not getting any easier. That's for sure. And just
a, you know, yeah.
But it's got to be an ongoing process. You know, like you said, you guys can say it. Oh, we're losing this, or we're not doing it. Blah 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 blah. And then it takes another group of people say, okay, we'll form this committee, go and find out the information, bring back the facts, you know, and then it gets lost. An election or this happens, some new people take over. But like he said, they have a commission, however they rotate it, but it's continuous. So when somebody picks up the phone and says, hey, how many, you know, how much revenue or how many calls or this, that, and not those simple things, but deep down, they already have that because
it's ongoing. It's probably, you know, maybe make that part of write that into the plan.
Well, like I said, you just got to sell it the right way. You know, you say, right. You know, an oversight committee, but they have to understand that there's no authority through the oversight committee. They're not going to come.
I don't like that. I don't like that term oversight, but advisory is
advisory committee or whatever. But you know, it has to be set up in a way where everybody's comfortable.
Because that's where the problem. That's not a calculator, but that's the problem.
No, you got to have people that are in the
reserve,
in my opinion.
Yeah, and that committee's got to be made up of a well-rounded group.
Right.
I mean, basically, this group is. Yeah, and we continue that way. Why not? May not be us, and not you know the us individuals, but.
Probably not
for much longer.
Well, you look at it also.
Was there
it's not like there's young kids sitting here.
I know.
Kids that have been in for 15, 20 years.
Right.
You know, how many years? Almost 50, right?
Yeah. I'm there too.
Listen, the days I got my EMT when I was 17. They had to send me to post college because Griffin Hospital wouldn't do it because we were under 18.
Yeah.
So.
Yes.
So,
but it was fun, you know. It was fun, and it was
doing some. It has been a lot of fun.
Now it's not so much, not so fun anymore.
We got in the fires. How much fun was it back then?
Well, it could fight fires. It was structure fires. I mean, when you're in a week, okay, you're in.
Yeah.
But old days.
Yeah. Well, it was a lot of fun. Maybe just because we were kids, it was fun.
But yeah. I don't know.
It seems everything now is so overly complicated.
Geez, I'm reliving my youth. I found the emergency on the TV again.
Oh my god! Tell me you don't laugh at that stuff. When you look at the shit they're doing, when I look at the equipment they're using back then, it probably was.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Start laughing.
But you know, I'm more comfortable. I remember that equipment. Much more than I remember the equipment nowadays.
Yeah.
I started to work for Shelton this week, and I have to learn how to use a light pack. I started on the light pack. You know, I went through the light pack.
Are you taking pass by?
No, I'm part time. Matt allowed them to pass by. And Matt didn't. And I'm not from Bridgeport.
So, are we good for this? Okay.
Yeah, make a motion when you adjourn.
Motion and second. Motion moves. Let's say leave meeting.
Sorry. 8:04 p.m.